Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
News, sports, both heading your way with lots of interesting stories. We'll get to that in a second. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Yeah, since the start of the pandemic, there's been a 300% increase in cybercrime. Hackers are getting more sophisticated, taking advantage of teleconference accounts. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day, we put our information at risk on the internet. Cyber criminals keep finding new ways to steal identities. You could miss certain threats if you're just monitoring your credit alone. That's where LifeLock comes in. You need the protection of LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information, they will send you an alert. Protect yourself with LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No, we prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can find out if your information is on the dark web. Get your free dark web scan at lifelock.com/scan. Pick the plan that's right for you and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code Adam. That's a free scan at lifelock.com/scan and 25% off with promo code Adam.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
From yachting to prison in a matter of hours, or at least jail, at least confinement, former UFC and mixed martial arts champion Conor McGregor was arrested in France Saturday in response to accusations of attempted sexual assault and indecent exposure. That complaint was filed on September 10th, just a few days ago. The attempted assault allegedly took place at a bar, according to TMZ, but no other details about the incident have been confirmed. McGregor is being held in custody on the island of Corsica, where he was vacationing. That was according to TMZ Sports. A spokesperson for McGregor sent an email, Conor McGregor vigorously denies any accusation of misconduct. He has been interviewed and released. Adi Attar, chief executive of McGregor's management firm here in Los Angeles, said in a statement, I'm irate and putting out a warning loud and clear. Conor McGregor is not and will not be a target of those seeking to score a headline or a payday.
Well, look, a lot of famous guys have their own booze brand, you know, and you got your George Clooney's, got his tequila, you got
Cranston.
You got Cranston.
Ryan Reynolds.
He's got his gin, aviation gin. It's all very well and good, but they're not out exposing their dick in bars and slapping 65-year-old guys and
rarely
really getting into the booze-fueled mayhem that would give them the kind of street cred.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And I feel like, you know, McGregor's got, I think he's got a scotch out. But the point is he's living the life of going out, getting loaded, punching strangers, exposing himself, you know.
Throwing dollies.
Making it authentic. Like his activities are booze-fueled activities. You know, sitting home and running lines with your wife is, sorry, Cranston, we're all big fans, but this is not.
That's weak.
It's not the kind of thing tequila, you know, makes. It doesn't force your hand that way, you know. So I'm saying, you know, good on. Who did it? Oh, Conor McGregor, because he's out there living his best booze fueled life.
Truth.
That's right.
Yes, it's truth, and I'm sure he gets. I'm sure Conor's probably one of these guys who likes to go into a pub. Someone certainly gets drunk, certainly screws with him, and then he certainly does something back to them. And at some point, he pulls his dick out. Like, I'm trying to think of what the exposure part is.
Natural progression.
Natural progression. But either way, he's a perfect spokesperson for his own product.
That's right. Speaking of pulling your dick out, Chris Evans making headlines over the weekend.
Headlines.
That's right. Appeared to accidentally upload nude photos of himself while attempting to post an Instagram video on Saturday. That's according to Page Six, but also according to the internet, if you've Googled it. Easy to Google. While playing a game of Heads Up, that's like a pantomime game online, like a charades game, he shared a video with his five and a half million followers without trimming the clip, because when you have an iPhone, you can record whatever's on the screen, and that goes for anything until it's done recording. One of them featured a photo of Anne, I won't say his, because who knows, an erect penis. He quickly deleted the clip, but that didn't stop people from commenting like crazy. And frankly, mostly complimentary. So take that for what it's worth. Meanwhile, another group came out to sort of came to his aid, because according to some reports, he has bad anxiety and this had to really screw him up. So all these mostly female internet followers flooded his timeline of pictures with Chris Evans with his dog, Chris Evans at a charity event, and said, you know, let's rally behind Chris Evans and make sure that he's, you know, being celebrated for the right reasons. And they did it because they didn't want to further upset him. And that's lovely. When has that ever happened? Because a nude celebrity female was hacked, didn't just upload it herself by accident, was hacked into her account. Did anyone ever say, let's flood Jennifer Lawrence's account to make sure she knows that we like the charity work she does?
It's her fault for being a slut.
Yeah, he was a victim. You bitches shouldn't have been taking pictures of your coos if you didn't want it on the internet.
Yeah.
I'm with Brad.
Sleazy.
Yeah. I mean, I feel split. No, I don't feel, it's not a 50-50, but it's like, on one hand, I'm like, yeah, everybody take a note from these ladies. But on the other hand, it's like, so? First of all the memes are complimentary. One of them was a giant, like 9 foot across, dick shaped hole in the ground that says, Chris Evans slipped and fell.
Wow.
So, you know, he should be so lucky.
So you take a picture of your dick. What do you do with that picture? Is he sending it to somebody? Does he just want it chronicled? Is it a kind of a thing where, like, well, I mean, you know, you're only
posterity.
You're only 37 once, you know, your dick's only whatever it is once. I mean, is it the same sort of thing where if you got in a really good shape for Captain America, you take a picture of yourself with your shirt off, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Is the dick pic for somebody, or is it for posterity? And then what woman really wants a dick pic? Like,
what woman really wants a dick pic up from Chris Evans? Probably a lot.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's true. Got to figure out. Yeah, you have to take into account who the dick is attached to.
Right.
It's true.
Yeah, so it's attached to Chris Evans.
Big factor, yeah.
And it got compliments across the board. Gender be damned.
Did you see it?
I did.
And what's good about it?
Well, I can tell you what other people complimented.
Yeah.
It's very, very wide. And that seemed to really please a lot of people. It seemed, you know, it's not a microphallus by any stretch of the imagination. So he just seems, you know, very gifted at acting and.
Well, I feel like it's a self-selecting group. Like, the guys who take pictures of their dicks take pictures of their dicks because they're wide, right?
Yeah.
Not because they're microphalluses, right?
Right, yeah.
I like living in a world where Captain America has a wide, huge, girthy dick.
Yeah, I do, too. That is the world I want to live in. And he takes it, and he has it on his phone.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's pictures of the grid of the phone. I mean, and they have the dick blurred out if we don't want to show that. But you can see all the images. One of them at the top is like a kind of like a headshot, like promo pic of him on his phone. And at the bottom, it says, guard that pussy.
Oh, really?
It's a fair warning.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
I wonder.
But that's also in his images.
Yeah, I wonder.
Sorry, I think we might have it.
Can I get the drop?
We will. We'll see if we can find that picture. Is that so? I don't know enough about phones. Is it on the front of your phone? It's like it's this
no.
there.
Oh, good.
It's not
Look
your
at the
screen
risk
saver.
I'm taking by showing you this. No, you just hit your photos album, and whatever's there.
There's
when it pops
dick.
Up.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Why does Adam get to see it?
Yeah. It's pretty girthy.
Yeah.
It's kind of tough, though. I mean,
why?
A lot of shading and angles and stuff.
That was nighttime.
Contours.
Yes. All right. Everyone's got a dick. We should be more like Europeans and kind of move on. That's what I'm saying.
Respect it.
Mm-hmm.
Respect the dick.
Yeah.
So San Francisco residents will be casting ballots in November to see not only about everything we already know they're voting for, but also if the city should allow 16-year-olds to vote in local elections. If the proposition passes, San Francisco would become the first major American city to give 16 and 17-year-olds the right to vote in municipal elections. They're not the only ones doing this, by the way. Tacoma Park, Maryland, which is right outside D.C., they also do that. They allow people as young as 16 to vote in local elections. They've been doing it for years, apparently. And skeptics, of course, argue that 16-year-olds aren't mature enough or informed enough to cast a ballot and that the policy could be inconsistent with other age-related requirements in the United States. But San Francisco might join Tacoma.
Well,
Tacoma Park.
You can drive a car at 16, but then there's the booze, the cigarettes, the army. I would say, in this country or any country, I think the age you could enlist in the services should be the vote age. That makes sense to me.
Sure.
The if you can join the army, you should be able to vote. You shouldn't be able to be in the army and not vote. On the other hand, you probably shouldn't be able to vote before you're able to enlist in the army. That seems sensible.
Let me throw this out there because it's for local elections, so it's kind of smaller stakes, obviously. It's not national elections. But Adam, a 16-year-old, I don't know about you, at 16 years old, I had a job. I was paying taxes. Mm-hmm. And you're often like, hey, that guy pays taxes, or I won't pay your taxes. And everything's like, oh, okay, well, if you're paying into the system, you should have a say where your money goes, right?
Yeah,
but if you're, but also,
then you're still a minor and you live at home. It's kind of both. It doesn't really matter.
And when you're 16, you may care about the presidential election because that's on your radar and everyone's talking about it. But do you care who becomes your city's comptroller?
Your alderman.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like 18. I like the military thing, but I would also say cigarettes and booze. Might as well move the booze to 18 as well if you're going to join the army. Once you can join the army, you should be able to drink. Or it'll be 21, but if you do join the army, you can drink at 18. Maybe that would entice more people to sign up, but I don't have super strong feelings about it. Although 16-year-olds now are like 12-year-olds of yore, so we have to adjust for inflation, right?
That's a good point.
Right.
Yeah.
So technically, we should all be waiting till we're 25 when we can rent a car without supervision and everything else. People are leaving California in droves, apparently. This is probably a surprise to no one. But between the wildfires, the air quality, the cost of living, between 2007 and 2016, some 5 million residents moved to California and 6 million people moved out. Now, where did they go? Well, again, this probably won't shock you. According to the census data in 2018, more than 86,000 people left for Texas, 70,000 left for Arizona, 55,000 left for Washington. And voters have considered some serious or some condition to leaving due to high cost, heavy taxation, and political culture. Now, people making less than $55,000 or less a year were mostly moving out of California during that time. People making 200 grand or more started moving in, but far less of them. California's 40 million residents are only seeing the state's issues exacerbated in the pandemic, as we now have all the COVID cases and the wildfires, and we're kind of shining a light on people exiting again.
You know, I have this thought every time I go down to Malibu, which is, you know, a nice home on Pacific Coast highways, $10 million. You want to live like right next to the ocean, but you can live in Van Nuys in a crappy apartment, just drive to the ocean and use it. And there's a lot of people I've noticed, the people who probably get the most out of the SoCal experience are probably the Hispanic culture, because they pack up that car, they bring it all down to Malibu, they got the hibachi out, they got all the stuff out, and they're just using the beach. Like, they're just going to go out there. They're in the park. They're throwing the barbecues and the parties and the soccer games.
Smell awesome.
Right. They got the pinata swung off over the tree branch there. Like, they don't have to maintain the park. They don't have to do anything in the park. They don't have to do anything in the beach. They're just using it. And it always kind of strikes me that the people that pay $10 million for the house and pay all the taxes and pay whatever, they're not even using the beach as much as the group that lives in the bad apartments that are 11 miles away are using the beach and or the parks and the whole that whole world. And I just always thought, if I was out here, if I was I've always kind of said that, like, if my son, it wasn't going to have a go at it, wasn't going to make a bunch of money, wasn't, you know, going to be a captain of industry or anything, just go get a little apartment, live in Santa Barbara, and work at a Starbucks and just surf all day. Like, just use it. I don't know why I marvel that the houses along Malibu are $10 million, but if you want to drive for 45 minutes, you can just use the whole place for free and then just get up and leave. You don't have to pay those taxes. You don't have to own those homes. You don't have to do anything.
Pretty sweet deal.
Yeah, and I feel like in Los Angeles, the Hispanics have figured that one out. And then what is really the big difference? Like, if you live in a crappy apartment in the San Fernando Valley, but you get up early Saturday morning, you pack up all the flank steak and the hibachi and the blankets and the kids and the whole nine yards, you just go to Malibu and you just bivouac for 10 hours, then aren't you essentially spending your days in Malibu? Like, aren't you... Essentially, it's like you have that real estate in Malibu.
Yeah.
Minus
those hours you do.
Right. Minus all the taxes and everything else. So, now it's interesting that people that make 200 are coming in and people that make 55 are heading out, because it seems to me like the 200 club is going to start heading out pretty soon, too. But maybe California will have a little turnaround. I don't expect it will, but
how so?
I don't know. Maybe there'll be a kind of Giuliani type New York Renaissance or something, where someone comes in and goes, "We're fucking cutting taxes, we're cutting regulation, we're getting tough on crime, we're going to get this thing back. We're going to steer this thing back.
It'd be wonderful.
From where we're going, which is just sort of further in this weird direction of more bigger. Like I said, when I knew we kind of jumped the shark when I was out on a boat with the guy who ran the Staples Center, and I just said to him, they got all those guys selling all those ghetto dogs all over your property as soon as the Laker game ends. I can't believe those guys, they're not certified, they don't have a license, there's no health inspector or anything. And I sort of said, like, why don't you get those guys off your property? And he just went, I can't do anything about it. I said, what do you mean you can't do anything about it? You're the Staples Center. Just go talk to the LA City Council. Tell them we got to get these guys out of here. They're hurting our business. We have all these other restaurants and stuff in there. And he just looked at me and he said, I don't want to get into trouble.
No.
And I thought, oh, that's bad. That's bad that you don't want to get into trouble. You run the Staples Center and you don't want to get into trouble? That's when I realized, oh boy, we got to reel this thing in a little bit. The guys, the Staples Center are our friends. They pay a lot of taxes. They've been part of rejuvenating downtown LA. Let's not make them the enemy, people.
But with social media being what it is today, that's a very shareable, easily digestible story. Staples Center cracks down on the poor people,
right,
you know, selling, you know, trying to get by selling hot dogs.
Yeah.
However, Adam, wasn't it you who kind of pulled back the curtain on that that hustle, the hot dog hustle downtown?
Well, according to the guy who runs the Staples Center, the hot dog hustle guys have figured out that they don't crack down on the kids and the women as much as the middle-aged dudes. So the guy gets the van loaded up in Chatsworth, puts all the kids in the van, drives them out to the Staples Center, drops them off, spreads them around, and then, of course, collects the money from them. So
it's not really helping.
It's turned into a little, Oliver Twist situation over here. So Yeah, by I don't know. Way, what do you know anything about that, Max Pat? Is there any stories or anything on that? But yeah, so yeah, the optics of busting the poor Latino kid who's trying to earn for his family are not good. But what if that guy's just giving all his money to one sort of kingpin?
Pimp,
essentially.
Yeah.
Right. Who's maybe, you know, cartel related or something. And this is just one of their many tentacles. Anyway.
By the way, that's the macro. I'm sorry, the micro version. The macro version is, I don't know who he heard this from, but we said this. Tim Conway Jr. said this on the show the other night on KFI. When you're like at a grocery store and they say, you know, you want to give your change to charity and you feel like a total asshole if you say no. According to him, don't feel bad because all they're doing is collecting that for their pot.
The write-off, yeah.
Exactly. Giving it to the charity for their own write-off.
Oh,
so
wow.
Do not feel like a scumbag for not giving them their write-off money.
Did not know that. All right, let me hit Simply Safe here and we'll move on with the news. Most home security companies trap you with high prices, tricky contracts, lousy customer support. There's only one no-brainer, that is Simply Safe. There's two eyes in there, people. Everything to protect your home, an arsenal of sensors and cameras for every room, window, and door, tailored specifically for your home. Professional monitoring day and night, ready to send police, fire, or medical professionals whenever you need them. Set up in under an hour, just peel and stick. No technician required, no contract, no pushy sales guy, no hidden fees. No fine print, starts at just $15 a month. U.S. News and World Report named it best overall home security of 2020. It's Simply Safe, right, Dawson?
Head to simplysafe.com/Adam and get a free HD camera for our listeners. That's simplysafe.com/Adam to make sure they know our show sent you.
All right, what else we got, Gina Grant?
A lock of Abraham Lincoln's hair, along with a bloodstained telegram about his 1865 assassination, have been sold at auction. They got more than they thought they were going to get. Anybody have a guess what it sold for?
As a package or individually?
Well, that's a good question because the picture, which they'll put up in a second, is just the lock of hair, I think. Mm-hmm. But I should... look into that, but we have the lock of hair picture. Wow. So let's just say it's a package deal.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a good swath right there.
That's a bushel of hair. It's a strange color.
Yeah,
imagine the centuries have been too kind to it.
Yeah. So these locks of hair, were they taken from after he was assassinated?
Yes,
must have been.
And
yes,
and then the blood stained. Letter, did you say?
A blood-stained telegram about the assassination. So where that blood came from, unclear. But a blood-stained telegram and a lock of his hair. And oh, there it is together. So yeah.
Some priceless shit, man.
Now, I'm going to give you a little... you want to hear the backstory on this first before you guess?
Yeah, I would. It has something to do with John Voight and Nick Cage.
Right, yeah.
Coming together to find this, right?
That's right, sure. Putting aside their differences. Mm-hmm. So no information about the buyer, but the roughly 2-inch lock of hair was removed during Lincoln's post-mortem examination after he was shot at Ford's Theater. It was presented to Dr. Lyman Beecher Todd, a Kentucky postmaster and cousin of Mary Todd Lincoln, of course, his wife, according to the auction. And Dr. Todd was present when Lincoln's body was examined. The hair is mounted. Sorry, should have finished this. Could have answered your question early, Brian. Hair is mounted on the official War Department telegram sent to Dr. Todd by George Kinnear, his assistant in Lexington, Kentucky, in the post office. The telegram was received in Washington at 11 p.m., April 14th, 1865. It did sell for more. It was auctioned for more than they thought it would be.
They didn't have photographs of the autopsy back then, even though they had cameras.
I don't know.
I mean,
they had cameras, no photographs of the autopsy, as far as I know. I know there's illustrations.
It's kind of weird because they had photography back then, kind of sparingly, must have just kind of started. I mean, you see photographs of like old Indian chiefs and Abe Lincoln.
And Lincoln, yeah.
Yeah, you
this
see
would have been perfect because you have to sit for a long time.
Yeah, that's you see those old photographs. It's weird that they didn't think to use photography to sort of like officially... capture things and document things. You know what I mean? Like if it was something you do, you'd sit for a photo and you'd put a picture, you have a picture of yourself. But interesting that they didn't use it sort of from a medical forensic kind of policing kind of kind of way like we would do it now. We'd document everything. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to say I have no idea. So I'm going to say $1.2 million.
I was about to say 1.5.
You guys are a couple of suckers. You could have got it much cheaper. They thought it was going to sell for 75 grand. It sold for 81.2 grand.
That's surprising.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, you can get a loaded Ford pickup truck for 8,200, yeah. 82,000 bucks.
They're not making more of Lincoln's hair.
That's right.
True.
Mm.
Wow, I'm surprised. Hey,
speaking of old-timey photographs, you know why when the little babies were always in white dresses, you know, whether they were boys or girls, on a flurry, like ruffly white background?
Hmm.
Because a lot of times the mom or a person was sitting on a chair with the baby on their lap and put like a ruffly sheet over them to keep the baby still and in place.
Mm.
So they're usually sitting on someone's lap in those pictures. I thought that was kind of interesting.
It is pretty insane, the first photograph. I mean, the first notion of a photograph. I mean, if you really just think about the concept of a photograph, like you could see somebody and for, you know, eons, people would just draw a picture of that person that was sitting across them, sitting and we'll do a portrait of the queen. But the actual capturing of that person is pretty insane if you think about it through the eyes of a person who was born before it existed, right? The capturing of a human being or anything, a bird or a waterfall, like it didn't matter. But hundreds and thousands of years of drawings of like pharaohs and nature and like everything, and at some point it's like, nope, that is the actual person. Or that is the actual river, waterfall, or landscape.
Enough with this photorealism bullshit.
Yeah, it's kind of pretty crazy.
So do we just at this point consider it undignified to take a picture in a courtroom? I mean, why aren't we doing that?
It's a bit of an antiquated rule, it seems like.
I mean, is it just, it's just gauche?
It's just that, it's a weird part about being human where we go, here are the rules. And we go, no photographs or no filming. And we go, all right, now let's defy ourselves by hiring a guy to draw a picture of the same thing that we could have taken a picture of. But we're going to just have this person. It's the Shabbos Goyim. You know what I mean? Like, here are the rules. Okay, now let's see if we can defeat those rules. It's a very interesting part about society because it's like, who made these rules? It's not like these rules, I've always said, it's not like our alien overlords imposed these rules and then we thought, we got to get around these rules somehow. Ah, we'll have a courtroom sketch artist. These are our rules. We made these rules up and now we're actually going to work around our own rules. Their religion is filled with this stuff.
Oh yeah,
it's a very interesting sort of human. It really doesn't make sense if you think about it. We make a rule. I've yelled about this a million times. There's no photography and there's no cameras in the courtroom. Fine, but there shall be an artist who shall attempt to recreate as close as possible to what a photo would be. At, $200 an hour.
Right. And to further confound all of us, cameras are allowed sometimes. How many times have we seen a picture or OJ or whatever footage, from the courtroom? It's like, there's no rhyme or reason.
Well, and that's the thing. Like back in the old timey days, like say, you know, keeping kosher or whatever, those rules were sort of for safety and sanitation reasons.
Right.
So, you know, you didn't want to eat bottom feeding, you know, crustaceans and stuff like that would make you sick. So they made it a rule. But, you know, do we evolve? Do we not evolve?
Yeah, I don't know. But for me, coming up on 2021, you could just get rid of all the stuff that didn't make sense. I go back to me in 1986 with the fresh tracks from the wet tracks from the street sweeper that went by and me trying to pull my truck in and park and work in Koreatown doing earthquake rehab, and the guy's pointing at the sign going, no parking between noon and two for the street cleaner. And I'm like, he just went by, and now it's 20 minutes to two, and I got to work. And he's like, I'm giving you a ticket. I'm like, it's for the street cleaner. He just drove by. Can I just pull in and park on his wet tracks and get on with this? It's like, nope, you may not. It's like, there's a lot of that in this world, and I don't get it. I really don't. This is just man-on-man crime for no good reason. I get the part where you mug someone and steal their wallet. You're a junkie. You need money. Like, that's fine. I get it where you steal people's food. Like, I get a lot of stuff. I don't get why there's the rule-on-rule crime amongst those who aren't criminals. You know, we do just so... So I'm going through the airport and my toothpaste says 4 ounces on it, but it's almost empty. And they go,
the law for spirit of the law.
3.5 ounces is the max. I go, it's empty. It's empty, but says 4 ounces. I know, but it's empty. But 3.5 is the max. Like, I know there's not 1 ounce of toothpaste in this. It says 4.0. Like, that is something we should strive to avoid as a society. And by the way, getting back to sort of California has more of that than any other place in the union. And that's part of the problem. California is just dripping with that kind of stuff.
But look at the other side of California. Our streets are clean. Everybody's taken care of and sane. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You can fill up your car for $12.
That's right.
Oh, wait, none of that.
All right, let's do one more, Gina Grad.
All right. Well, science is going a little old school, and it's a little controversial, but it's making kind of a splash right now. Australian scientists say the venom from honeybees has been found to destroy aggressive breast cancer cells in testing. Mm. The venom and a compound in it called melatonin, T-T-I-N, were used against two cancer types, which are hard to treat. The discovery has been described as exciting, but scientists caution that further testing, of course, is needed. Bee venom has previously been found to have anti-cancer properties for other types of cancers, such as melanoma. But the researchers warn more work is needed to see if venom could actually work on a scale as an actual cancer-fighting drug.
Researchers, I should say, never want to be out of a gig, because whenever they have a breakthrough, they just go, oh, slow your roll.
A lot more research is needed.
Don't quote me on that.
Keep your checkbook out. There's a lot more to be done over here. Don't close those Bunsen burners just yet. We're not closing up shop. We got a lot more to do.
First, we
got to
find bees. I don't know where we're going to do that.
And we got to milk them. Good luck with that. So just get those checkbooks back out, because we got a lot more to go. Nobody warns like researchers. They come up with the greatest thing ever, and then they go, but hold on.
More research needed.
More research is needed. Well, good. I do like that stuff where, trying to think of like where they take like the bubonic plague and they inject it and it goes after the cancer cells or whatever.
Immunotherapy.
Yeah, whatever that stuff is. Like, I do like nature fighting nature.
Right.
I like that. I like it when there's some insect that's eating the crops and they take the praying mantises and they release them and they eat all those insects. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love the cancer version of it. I love the sort of nature, you know, insect version of it. I do always think those answers make the most sense, that there's something in nature that will defeat this other thing in nature.
Some balance, some harmony.
Right. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, let me tell you about Madison Reed before we move on to our sports. Madison Reed, mister, that is. Madison Reed's been around for quite some time. They made lovely hair coloring for women. Mm-hmm. Gina knows about it. Lynette uses it as well. And they did it for quite some time. And like, we make the good stuff for the women. What about the fellas? Well, now there's Madison Reed Mister. It's gray blending natural color for your hair and beard. You can see the before and after shots just by hopping on their website. No shoe polish look here, kiddies. Nope, just a very natural look. A little less salt, a little more pepper, if you please. Quick and easy. Go online, match your color up. They give you a little kit. Put the gloves on, take the gel, spread around your hands, work it through your hair, then put the activator on, wait 10 minutes, rinse it out. Boom. Very natural gray deleted look for your hair, but not the weird shoe polish look, just a natural look at Madison Reed Mister, right, Dawson?
Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMR.com and use code Corolla for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Corolla.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Cesario and the All Ball Sports right after this.
It's time to break down the game film and look at the X's and O's, the KOs and the O-Nos from the world of sports. BetOnline presents All Balls, All Sports.
Oh, brother, Chet Waterhouse with the BetOnline mini update sponsored by Glassonine, the eyeglasses that help you see stupidity coming. NFL kickoff. Finally, a reason to stay 6 feet away from Joe Buck. No fans, but open sideline mics. They make a nipple slip seem like Christmas Eve mass. Big winners, New England, New Orleans, Green Bay. NBA playoffs. Denver pushes Clippers to a game 7. The Nuggets. More ominous than an Amazon van just idling outside your house. And finally, Peter Stenonic got his testicles crushed in a Bellator fight and had to be carried out on a stretcher. Well, it was 2 trips, 1 for each nut. It was a bad night, I'm saying. This mini update sponsored by the Thunder Burps, the Air Force belching team. Gina, I was going to go with that off-shoulder t-shirt too, but lucky I held back. Take it away, Jeff! Thank you, Chet. Our top story, of course, the NFL's back. First Sunday in the books. Probably everybody looking at Tom Brady versus Cam Newton right now. Statistically, maybe a little better day for Brady, but Newton won. Seemed to have more fun. Newton went 15 for 19, 155 yards, no TDs, but no interceptions. He ran 15 times for 75 yards, 2 TDs as the New England Patriots won by 10 over Miami. Brady, 23 of 36 for 239 yards, 2 TDs, but 2 picks. 3 carries, 9 yards, and 1 TD.
I was wondering, I was watching very closely the New England game, and they're running Cam Newton. And it's like this is the first game of the season, obviously. They were down around, I don't know, the 10-yard line. He ran it. He got bonked in the head hard. Like, it looked like he may have been concussed a little bit. He went down, someone kicked him or kneed him in the head, not intentionally, but, and then the next play just ran it again and got bonked again. And he's had some injuries over the last few years. This is the first game of the year. You're not playing a powerhouse in Miami Dolphins. I'm kind of wondering what Belichick is doing. Like, it's a long season. These guys take a pounding. He has been injured in the past. Why are we calling his number so often? Like, it sounds like you're going to win. You'll win, but it's a long season. Like, it's going to take a lot of punishment.
That's Cam at his best.
Yeah,
they got a pretty good, better offensive line than Cam's used to. I mean, you could see him kind of, who are these guys? Oh, that's my offensive line. So I think eventually they will gel. They'll know what his favorite holes are, where his favorite cuts are. I think they got a really good chance with this. And the bonus is every drunk in Boston is like, yeah, I knew it. I knew it was Belichick in the system.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I was watching the game and Dickie from the Bostones was hanging around with us. And when Brady took the field with Tampa Bay, all the guys were like, hey, it's Tom. It looks good in the Tampa uniform. We wish him well. And he's like, oh, yeah, what happened to all the hate I've heard for 20 years? I hope that guy dies. I hope a light falls off the stadium and crushes him. And all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, I'm rooting for Tom. Let's see if we give it a good go. And it's like, it's so true. Every guy who hated Tom Brady, the second he went to Tampa, everyone just gave it up. But I still wonder how many play calling. Is Cam Newton getting back, getting in the shotgun, and calling his own number when he sort of sees an opening or it's a run option or whatever, because I still feel like Belichick does not want him putting his head down and running 10 or 15 times a game. I just feel like, hey, he didn't run that much. But what I'm saying is this guy is your star pony. Mm-hmm. Like, don't get him hurt early in the season. I wonder how much of that is Cam and how much of it is Belichick.
Yeah, he's going to be the one coach, though, who's going to be able to just bust balls with the officials and start getting those calls that Cam never got in Carolina. You know, he's going to start busting the officials down and making sure they call roughing the passer, late hit, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I think he'll, I think they probably got better drugs or a better trainer or both in New England. So
could have been games. I didn't watch the whole game. Could have been game script too, because the Patriots don't have a lot of offensive weapons, at least not scary ones. You know, you wouldn't say a lot of those are marquee players.
Who looked lost was Gronk.
Yeah.
He did not look. Gronk, I mean, Brady looked okay. He looked like a quarterback having, you know, a decent day, and his team wasn't helping him out much. But Gronkowski just, he wasn't turning for balls. He was kind of not there today. I'm not sure how that's going to work out for them.
Well, you know, football, all sports are this way, but you can't take, Gronk's taken a year or two off, right? I mean, has he taken a couple of years off now, or has it just been 1 year? It's pretty tough.
I think it was one full year and one injured year. We can look into that.
It's kind of a lot to expect him just to kind of hit the ground running when you've been basically partying for a year. I mean, he's in great shape, but I just mean just the rhythm of football. But, you know.
He didn't enjoy his scintillating gigs hosting various shows. You don't think that snapped him out of it?
Has it been 1 year, Max Bad, that he's been retired? Either way, they looked pretty mortal.
Yeah, 1 year.
1 year, Gronk and Brady. Although Brady kind of came out firing, definitely scored first and kind of looked like he was going to keep marching on, but then looked pretty human throwing a few picks. And
they had a tougher opponent too. Let's be clear.
That's true.
Oh yeah.
That's
I mean,
New Orleans tougher.
The Saints are quite a bit better than the Dolphins. And it was funny because I was watching Cam celebrating on the sideline, and I don't think Cam has won a game in a while, but Cam was doing a lot of celebrating, and someone had to explain to him, Cam, this is New England and we're at home and we're playing the Dolphins. We have won 28 out of the last 29 games at home against the Dolphins.
Act like you've been there.
Act like you've been there. All right, what else?
That tremendous argument by Ace, sponsored by three guys from Italy Restaurant. Why do you got to know their names? What's it to you? You like the food? Shut up and eat. Next, Denver pushes the Clippers to a game 7. This makes 2 in a row now that Nuggets have come from way down. They erased a 19-point deficit in the second half. Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, their manic cycles apparently in sync. They scored like crazy in the second half, 65 points. They easily beat the Clips by 30-plus in the second half, and led by Coach Mike Malone in Denver. And I say that only because we should know his name probably at some point, and nobody does.
I would like to sit all the Clippers players down and all the Nuggets players down and go, explain your team name. What are the origins? What? Give us the history. What does this have to do with?
The Nuggets.
What are the Nuggets? What is no? Well,
what does that do with Denver?
It's true. There is a McDonald's in Denver. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you're going to go down that road, that's not the one we're talking about. These are different Nuggets. I would watch a whole Nuggets Clippers team, just a team history discussion from all the players on the teams. And, you know, the brothers from out here would be good, but a lot of the European guys would probably have their own interesting take on the Clippers and the Nuggets as well.
You know what the Nuggets are, right?
I know what the Nuggets are. I don't think the 23-year-olds that are on the team have a good idea. I know what the Clippers are too. I don't think the 24-year-olds who are on that team have a clear idea of that.
Because I know nothing about sports. Let's see how far away I am from the 23-year-old, because I'm guessing. I'm assuming what the Nuggets are. I'm assuming it's gold nuggets from the Gold Rush.
You're
Is that right?
Off. You're way off.
I am? I assume that was it.
Yeah. And And you might get that, but I'd like to really drill down, pardon the pun. Like, I'd like to hear about some dates and how this all panned out, pardon the pun.
Spectrum,
like,
this is prospector.
Right. This is where we really missed the Seattle Supersonics.
Right.
Yeah.
This is where we missed the Seattle Supersonics.
Roster only. You're talking literally a documentary, but just confined to team sources.
Yeah.
Roster sources is what you say.
Yeah, it's always, and then it's always comical that, you know, the Jazz ended up in Utah because that's ironically, and Lakers in LA. Yeah.
And at some point we can talk some hot Knickerbocker talk.
Mm, yeah.
Oh, sure.
All right. Sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, the Nuggets, like that kid in front of the supermarket from that unregistered charity, they just keep coming at you. That sound you hear, that's LeBron James salivating. He's got to be so happy that the Clippers are being pushed to the brink by Denver. This way, either team, the Lakers are just waiting for either team. They're going to be gassed. And if it's the Nuggets, they got them down cold. And even if it's the Clips, I think the Lakers figure they got to have an advantage here.
I'm always surprised by LeBron James's energy. Like, the guy has been in the league for 15 years now. I mean, he's been in that league for a long time.
Phenomenon.
He's not young by NBA standards at all. He's got a couple gray whiskers in his beard, and he still just hustles it down that court, goes for the block, you know, and the alley-oop and the fast breaks. And I know it sounds like I'm just talking about your basketball terminology here, but, like, I'm old enough to remember when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar didn't really feel like hustling back down on defense and stuff like that. Like, you were 34, you're perennial all-star, you're a scoring machine, and it's like, I'm not going to bust my ass to get back down on defense. LeBron is chasing guys down. You know, there's 22-year-old guys just hauling ass down the court. He's chasing them. He's chasing behind them and trying to pin it up against the backboard, you know, so they don't get point 18, you know, in the first quarter. Like, his hustle, I mean, how long has he been in the league?
2003. It's a
physical phenomenon.
2003.
Yeah.
So we're talking about 17 years in the league or so. I don't know if it's 16 or 17, whatever. He's not young anymore, and he's just running up and down. And he's a big dude to be chugging up and down that court for a lot of minutes. Like, it'd be pretty easy for him to go, look, it's the first quarter. I'm not going to sprint down the court and try to pin the ball against the backboard coming up behind some guys. Just let him go. Right. There's plenty of time left. All right, I got to conserve my energy. It's a long game, and you know the fourth quarter's coming. He's just trucking up and down that court like possessed. So
yeah, I'm pushed to the brink just doing the audio run through with Dawson. I'm exhausted. I got nothing left. That item sponsored by Needle and Thread, the Amish Bedazzler. Next, you got Bellator, the fighting group. League style. Fighter Peter Stanonik left the Bellator 245 bout in tears on a stretcher after a bazooka spin kick to the groin from Raymond Daniels. And not to quote America's Funniest Home Videos, but I believe we have footage.
Footage.
Stanonik.
Oh, and he's down. Wow, you could hear that.
I saw. Tom.
Boom. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Is that allowed?
Was that more than one?
No, that was the same one.
The same one, okay.
Again, otherwise you'd be cruel.
Bellator, some...
They wear a cup, you know, obviously. And cups are pretty effective, but when you're hit with that kind of... It's like saying, well, I can't get a concussion. I'm wearing a helmet. Like, yes, you can if somebody hits your head hard enough, or you hit your head hard enough on the ground. So, that was a major kick to the groin.
Yeah, Daniels won the fight and a lock of Lincoln's hair. I didn't know that. That's...
It's not worth much.
Now, the other guy...
It's not worth as much as you think.
It's a foul. right? That kicks a foul. Yeah, it's unintentional, but it's a foul. But the other guy can't continue. So normally they would give the win to the other guy unless it's too early in the fight, like it's in the first round. That was called a draw or something like that, or no contest.
Yeah, and also we should be know that those were two kicks.
Those were two kicks. Yeah, that was Ryan's right.
You guys.
Wow.
He threw the same kick twice and hit him there.
Got to see that again.
Oh, now I got to see it again.
They reacted differently. That was a spinning kick with the ref to the top of the screen.
Right.
Where the ref is.
Oh, I thought it was. I thought it was like a different camera angle on the same thing.
No, because all the logos were right.
Oh,
right.
So he did it two times.
How do you get two times?
Yeah, that's egregious. So yeah, did he rupture his scrotum? Or is
he was rushed to a medical center of some sort.
Where are you
diagnosed with groin contusion?
Gonads Medical Center, our queen of gonads.
Where are you guys? How do you land on this? I've seen enough UFC fights and boxing fights to have a guy who's getting beat up a little bit, and then at some point the other guy throws a knee, and the knee clearly hits him on the waistline, but he grabs for his cup and drops down, and the ref always jumps in and goes, okay, take 5 minutes, take all the time you need. So the rule is, if there's a groin strike, you basically get all the time you want until you're ready to come back. So there you are taking a beating in the corner, right? You're maybe a couple of seconds from being dropped. The guy throws the knee hits you in the liver, and you do the nut grab and take a knee, and the ref who's standing behind the other guy doesn't really know what's going on, and he just goes, all right, take 5 minutes, and then you go to the corner and you recover, essentially. Good strategy or cheater? Where are we down with that?
Good strategy, right? I say, because it's it's like a flop in soccer with a lot more pain, but it's like that. That's completely allowed. It happens all the time.
Once in a while
they'll give you a yellow card, but
this is the last sport on the planet where a guy should be pretending to be crying and writhing around because he's hurt. This is all about who's the toughest. And if you're gonna take the pansy way out and start crying in the middle of an octagon, I don't get it.
Wait a second. He took a knee to the liver. It was
no, but I'm saying like
part of the game.
If you're cheating just to get a few, no, walk it off. That's the point of MMA, isn't it?
Yes, he's saying
he's taking the time to walk it off.
He's saying I got hit in the nuts when he didn't get hit in the nuts. He got hit above the nuts.
Give these guys a break. There's no rules. The ref comes out at the beginning of the fight and literally says, "Okay, gentlemen, no guns. Go." That's about the rule that they deal with. So I say, give him 4 minutes to run the family jewels.
No sack taps.
Is there a rule, taps. Adam? Is there a rule about wearing your shorts super high? Because one thing that always annoyed me about boxing was guys would wear their shorts between their nipples and their belly button for so low blows were like to the gut. But like, I don't see that in UFC so much or mixed
the
martial
Fred
arts
Sanford work. Lift way up here. He's got the belt.
Yeah. They don't do it as much. They don't. So in MMA, you have to throw a lot of kicks. So you can't do that sort of George Foreman thing where you just put the trunks up, pull them all the way up to underneath, you know, butter bean style, pull it up to your underarms and then throw punches. Now, if you watch, and there is no low blow. See, in boxing, there's low blows. In MMA, there's just shots to the groin, you know. And so in boxing, if you watch the beginning of one of those old George Foreman fights, like when he was coming back when he was 45 years old, he'd come out there and the trunks would be pulled way up.
Right.
And the ref, when he was giving his instructions, you know, like, hey, want a clean fight, whatever, he'd take his hand and he'd put it down about 5 inches lower than George had his trunks pulled up. And he'd go, this is the mark. Like he'd say to the opponent, you don't have to stay above the top of his trunks. His trunks are jacked all the way up to his underarms. Here's the mark on his shorts. Wow. I don't want to see you get above this mark. So they kind of hold his hands. Not an exact science, I would argue. But they would go, this is anything above this is not going to be considered a low blow. You can hit this guy's waistline. In MMA, they don't do it that way. They just go no groin strikes. But I have seen fights where a guy was getting pummeled and was probably seconds away from losing, then did the fake groin grab with a kick to the midsection. Like, you got me in the nuts, and then taking 4 or 5 minutes to recover. And by the way, it's not 4 or 5 minutes. It's taking 30 seconds or a minute just to recover when you're really being pummeled, come back and knock the guy out. So it's a strategy. I don't know if it's one they teach at the gym, but yeah, it is interesting.
Take a low blow? Have you ever take a low blow?
In a non-sexual way? Let me see.
Sure.
Yeah, I've been punched all over the place. The reality is you have a cup. The low foul protector in boxing is pretty good. It's like a cup with leather around it. It's kind of like in that movie Beastmaster, the guys who guarded the fortress. It's basically what those guys were wearing, essentially. It's pretty effective. All right, let me hit Bet Online.
Codon Podo.
Bet Online. The wait is finally over. Football's back. Yeah, that's what we're here to tell you about. Get in on all the action at Bet Online. This week coming up, we got Falcons and Cowboys and Bills and Dolphins, Vikings at Colts, Panthers at Buccaneers, the Patriots at the Seahawks. Oh, that'll be an interesting one. Rams and Eagles. More options to wager any place you'd like to go on any game. And they got spreads, they got totals, they got props. You get in on the season opening bonuses and wager to win. How about division championship futures? How about that? Head to BetOnline today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner, Podcast One. Don't forget, use the promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, what else we got, Mark? I mean, Jeff,
Time for the – probably your cut, man. Uh-huh. Time for the BetOnline line. Let's check the results from Bet the Farm Friday. When Brian, his 49ers, he bet against them. They were given 7 to Arizona. Arizona won the game by 4, so Brian wins the bet.
Saw coming from a mile away.
Yeah, Gina took the Chargers. We kind of forced her to, but she took them anyway. They were favored by 3. They won by 3. When Jeff, he took Green Bay plus 2.5. Packers dunked the Vikings by 9, and to be determined, Adam, Rams plus 3 versus the Cowboys. But right now, we don't know who won that game. There's a huge news blackout from SoFi, the stadium. All the electronic, we don't know who's doing anything there. We're sending a drone now. We'll have results for you. More fun bets on the board. We got Monday Night Football doubleheader, Steelers versus the Giants. Steelers giving 240. That means you bet 240, you win $100. Titans versus Broncos. Titans minus 158. They're favored. So you got some fun bets. And if you're NBA, Nuggets versus Clippers, game 7. Clippers cacking in the throat a little bit here, but they're still favored. They're given 285. They're the favorite. Got to bet 285 to win 100. And Heat versus the Celtics, game 1. Celtics only favored, they're given 125. So. So there's good bets on the board.
The best cut guy in the business, the most famous cut guy in the business, is the bald guy who puts all the stickers on his head. Remember this guy?
Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah, I don't know if this guy's alive.
Weren't those stitches? Weren't those like Band-Aid stitches?
No.
I thought that's what he had on his head.
No, right? he's a shaved head guy, old guy. I don't know if he's still alive. But he put stickers on his head. He did
you go to Ohio State?
Yeah, it really was like an Ohio State. Why aren't you laughing, Gina? Ohio State football helmet. Like, that's essentially what he had on his head.
Gina would have gone to Florida State.
Yeah. It is. Where is that picture of that guy?
Maybe not.
It's one guy. It's like the most famous cut guy in the world. Bald guy, did every big fight, worked in everybody's corner. And his trademark was stickers on his head. I don't know how it got started. I don't know what
like
the origins were.
Or like Hello Kitty. Oh,
kind of Hello Kitty, but maybe Ripe. I don't know.
Like an STP?
Chiquita?
Reduced.
Yeah. Max Pratt, you have that guy? I don't know the guy's name. I don't know. He's the most famous bald cut man. Boxing bald cut man or something image. He's the most famous cut man in the world. But I don't know if he's still with us. Even.
It's actually hard to find pictures of that. I can't find it either.
I can see him. I don't know why there's not tons of pictures of this guy because it's such a kooky, bizarre sort of. I don't know. There must be some origin story with this guy. De La Hoya. Maybe put De La Hoya cut man or something. I think he did a lot of De La Hoya fights as well. That's got to be a weird gig, cut man, right?
Was it Chuck Bodak?
Yeah, it was probably Chuck Bodak. And
sounds right.
you gotta
sounds like cut man.
You gotta wonder if Chuck was. First off, you also have to wonder, like, I guess you would like your fighter to not get a scratch on them and it be an easy night's work for you, or do you want to get up there and ply your trade? You know what I mean? Like, do you want the announcers going, he's got a, because they'll do it. They'll go, he's got a bad cut. This thing, and then they'll go, his cut man did an excellent job. It's not opened up again. Like, whatever. But yeah, Chuck Bodak image.
Professional pride. Yeah,
question about that. My microblader for my eyebrows, when I was able to actually do that, has a medical degree. Does this guy have any certification or anything to show for stitching people up in the middle of a fight?
Let's check his forehead, because I think he kept all his paperwork on his head.
Right up there.
But I mean, oh my God.
What if he's covering cuts on his own head?
Oh, that he's practicing?
Yeah.
He's got skin condition.
Chuck Bodak died in 2009, but there's some pictures of him with just lots of pictures stuck to his head.
Yeah, he was known for his trademark headbands with photos of his fighters, as well as his handmade jewelry and collages that he liked to give away as gifts.
That's how I'm coming on the next show.
Wow.
Died in 2009.
Died in 2009, but he'll...
You know what's weird about his jewelry? It was very sharp-edged. I never understood.
Yeah, for a cut man, you'd think he'd round those corners, right? It's a tetanus shot waiting to happen.
There's a picture of him doing De La Hoya with the crown, basically the headband.
Yeah, picture of him doing De La Hoya. All right, let's bring it home, Jeff Cesario.
That Bet Online line sponsored by H2O, the water with a prize in every bottle. This is Chet Waterhouse for All Balls, All Sports, reminding you to play with pain.
All Balls, All Sports, presented by Bet Online, your online sportsbook expert.
Well, come on out and see the live pod this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Tempe Improv. And then we're heading off to Salt Lake City in a couple weeks, October 2nd and 3rd. I'm your emotional support animal. You can get that on Amazon, leave a review. I shall look at it and enjoy it. Thank you very much. And until next time, this is Adam for Ball and Gina and Jeff saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's good reading. Get the links at adamcarolla.com.
And before we get out of here, one more thanks to Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? What do you do? Do you want a bundle? Well, you own or you rent, or you got to have insurance. You got to have auto insurance. Bundle it. Make it easy. Save money. Let's get it under one roof at Geico. At geico.com, get a quote. See just how much you could be saving on your homeowners and your rental insurance when you bundle. That's Geico, geico.com.